is seeing how, as a church, we respond to the various things that God puts on our hearts. And a month or so ago, we had our World Gift Day, and praise God, we are now over that target of 50,000. £50,500 was given to the work of world missions around, which is just phenomenal. I think, praise the Lord, in my time, I think that certainly is the largest amount we've given to world missions in a sort of particular focused way. So it just thrills my heart because there's so much need. And I always find with these kind of things, I'm celebrating what God has done in and through us, but I'm also looking out and I'm thinking, God, there's so much more need. And I'm just thinking about all the needs in our city and our world, and I'm thankful that Andy just gave a great word at the Tuesday afternoon service that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. But you know, one of the things that there's just this huge need is for us to continue, as we've learnt the joy of giving, let's keep being generous with our gifts and our regular giving. And I want to thank everyone who just regularly gives week by week by standing order and all those kind of different things. And I just want to say, if you've never discovered the joy of doing that in a regular way, it's wonderful. You can't outgive God. And there's so much that your giving enables in the life of this church and in the work in the city and around the world. So I do encourage you to just prayerfully consider your regular giving as well. And you know, it's like that with Hope and Wales. I'm just so thrilled. You know, it's over 100 folks who said, right, I'm going to take time out. I'm going to serve God. And I think, oh, that's so cool. Those 100 people are going to be massively blessed. They're going to be a blessing beyond anything they can imagine. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, but Lord, I know there's like probably 100 more. I long for there to be 100 more who somehow in the next 3 weeks discover that joy and just feel that prompting to say, yeah, you know, I can do something too. And you might think, I do this sometimes. You might think, well, God, I can't really do anything. And I don't feel I've got the skill that's needed, or and we rule ourselves out. And I just want to say, don't rule yourselves out. We need your help. The city needs your help. God's got a plan and purpose for you. And sometimes we think, well, maybe I could just pray. There's nothing just about praying. We need an awesome prayer team that week. Please come and be part of it and take time out to do that as well. We are coming to the end of our series in Revelation. And it's just been a real eye-opener, challenging, inspiring to look at this book together. I really hope that you'll, in your own devotions and just sort of daily reading through the Bible, which is so important if you want to grow, I hope that you'll go back to Revelation as part of that, and it will remind you of some of the things we've been looking at. And if you don't have a Bible right now, don't worry. Just raise your hand, and Jackie and Wendy and others are just going to bring one to put it in your hand. And it's very easy. You're just turning to the last page in the Bible, 1,250, and we're not just at the end of our Revelation series looking at the last words of Revelation. We're looking at the last words of the Bible. Now, if you're reading someone's last words, it's like, well, that's important. And so I just want to say, guys, I believe God always speaks when we open his word. But we're about to read the last words of the Bible, so listen up. I believe God wants to speak to us this morning. I believe this is a word that we need to hear. So let's come and read God's word together. We're going to start at verse 6, and then we'll read right the way through to the end. The angel said to me, these words are, read this bit with me, trustworthy and true. You can trust these words. These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophet, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and had seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Say this bit with me. Worship God. Worship God. Then he told me, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll because the time is near. That's like, keep it open because it's relevant for now. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Yes, that's what amen means. Yes. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. And so, Lord, please open our hearts and our minds to understand and apply your word. Help me, help us. May your grace indeed be with us, we pray. Amen. Tomorrow is a really significant day for us as a nation. I wonder if you know why. 800 years since the signing of the Magna Carta, a document that has massively impacted not only our own sort of government and legal system, but it's massively impacted others. It's a remarkable piece of work. You know, the Magna Carta, signed 800 years ago, gave the right for everyone in this country to have a fair trial. I mean, what an awesome thing. Even now in the world, there are so many countries where people don't have the right to a fair trial. But you know, I think about our own nation and I think, I wonder if you asked everyone whether they felt they got justice in the UK. Even people who've gone through what are some of the best court system in the world. There's still injustice. You know, I was staggered just last year. A headline caught my eye, and I was digging around for it again this week. And, you know, it was about 200 years ago that we celebrated the abolition of slavery in this country. Again, fantastic! Such a good thing. There are places in the world where slavery still exists in terms of it's legal. But you know what? In our own nation, even with the law, good law, I wonder if you know how many slaves there are today in the UK. Take a guess. Maybe a few hundred? A few thousand? 13,000 slaves, they estimate, in the UK today, in this country. But we've got a law! And the Magna Carta 800 years ago said that there was freedom for anyone, everyone in this nation to have a fair trial. And yet we've got 13,000 slaves in this nation. And that's the UK. I'm so thankful for those who seek to work for the common good in our land. I'm so thankful for all that's been done. I believe that we need to be doing things, and I believe that actually above all else, the church is the one who can do remarkable things. I'm so thankful for all this church does, and together with so many others in this city and across the world. Last month we had someone who we're partnering with in serving the Untouchables in India. The Untouchables in India are the Dalek community, there are 250 million of them. They're the most trafficked people. These are some of the kids, the Dalek kids. We as a church, part of that giving that we were just talking about goes to helping a school for them. And this guy, Ravin, who was here, just sitting in the service, because he came down for our World Sunday and was sharing some things with us as part of that day. And he was just saying what we could be praying for their work over there. And he was saying that in India, sometime back, a couple of decades back, they outlawed a thing called shrine prostitution, where they take young girls like these and force them to be prostitutes at temple shrines. And you're thinking with me, that is so good that they outlawed that. Fantastic. And he was saying it still goes on today. What do you do? Well, what you do is you say, God, please help us be part of the solution to that. And praise God again as a church, as we serve and as we partner with those folks out there and doing those schools and helping the churches, we become part of that. And praise God, others in the past, even when it was allowed, there was this amazing lady, Amy Carmichael. We've got a picture of her here. She left what was quite a good lifestyle here in the UK in those times. And she went as a missionary and rescued at great danger and risk to her. Herself, kids from these shrine prostitution kind of places, and she set up a home. She ended up with like 150 kids, just a single woman looking after 150 kids, all of whom she'd rescued, and many times she received serious threats. She's helping them. She's doing something, and that's so good. But you know that woman, Amy Carmichael, she wrote some amazing poems. This is one of her poems. You can imagine her knowing all these children and this brokenness. She wrote this, because of little children soiled and disinherited, despoiled. Because of hurt things, feathered third, tormented beast, imprisoned bird. Because of many folded grief, beyond redress, beyond belief. Because the word is true that saith, the whole creation travaileth. Of all our prayers, this is the sum. O come, Lord Jesus, come. And folks, I want to say this morning that as we look in this passage, it tells us something so wonderful, something that our world so desperately needs, something that can give you and I a hope and a confidence that one day all injustices will be put right. One day all that's wrong in our world will be made right. In Revelation, we've seen that the Lord Jesus is one day coming back, and when he comes back, he will make everything new. There will be no more death and no more pain. All injustice will be held to account. All that we long to see happen will happen. Just like that. No wonder that Amy Carmichael is praying, oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. No wonder that the end of our passage, when it's repeated three times in our passage in verse 7, look with me, Jesus says, look, I'm coming soon. And then in verse 12, he says, look, I'm coming soon. And then in verse 28, he says, yes, I'm coming soon. And no wonder that the Apostle John replies, amen. Yes, please. Come, Lord Jesus. I mean, he was exiled. He knew that the Christians of that time were persecuted. This was their cry. Come, Lord Jesus. And I want to say this morning, folks, while I believe passionately that we need to be part of the kingdom of God, the arms and legs and mouth and hands of Jesus that come and bring good news and show his love to the world. And that's why he came the first time and sent his spirit so that we could be that. And I believe there's something even more ultimately that our world needs, and that's the return of Christ. And praise God, he's coming. And one of the things that we see in this passage that I want to encourage us to do is to long for it. To say, yeah, come Jesus, we need you. This prayer, I want to just firstly say, this is my first point. Come, Lord Jesus, let that be a longing in your heart. Maybe you're here and you think, you know what, I've never really thought about that thought. You know, I'm still trying to get my head around of who Jesus is, let alone the fact that one day he's coming back. Well, I remember one time doing Alpha, a great course that helps those who are thinking about spiritual things and have got questions, and really encourage you. If you've never done Alpha, it's a fantastic course. We'll be running it again in the autumn. But this person was on Alpha, and they discovered that Jesus was good news for them. You know, like that song we were singing, that, you know, in Christ alone, they discovered hope. And they discovered that he died for them, and he rose to life. And then a few weeks later, you know, and they just loved Jesus. They thought, he's good news for them. A few weeks later, there was a discussion on the table. And one of the other people on the table said, just in passing, you know, when Jesus comes back, and this person, this woman, I can remember her, she said, "What? You mean he's coming back?" And she just thought this was fantastic. And I don't know whether you're hearing this for the very first time, or maybe you're actually quite familiar with the concept, but I'd say don't lose, or don't be kind of thinking, well, what's this all about? It's something wonderful. Don't lose the sense of excitement that actually what the world most needs will one day happen. And it's, you may be thinking, well, when? In fact, that's the title of our talk today. You might have noticed it here on the service sheet. When will Jesus return? When will this happen? And don't be fooled, by the way. I know it says, when will Jesus return there? And then it says in the box a bit down, only 2.5 weeks to go. That wasn't a reference to that. Someone pointed that out to me, and I don't know. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. That's one of the things that was very clear in the Bible. It might be 2.5 weeks, but it might not. That is actually a reference to Hope and Wales, those mission trips that are only 2.5 weeks away. Just thought I'd clarify that. But what do we know? When is Jesus going to return? He's going to return soon. Look with me. Look, I'm coming soon. Verse 7. Verse 12. Look, I'm coming. What does it say? Soon. Look at the end. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. And we need him soon. We need him soon. And one of the things I think we sometimes think about is, well, what does this soon mean? There's a sense in which it's got this sense of, it could be translated quickly. You know, he's coming quickly. When he comes like a thief, it says in other parts of Revelation. And even tricky verse in verse 11, where it seems to see that people are kind of just going to continue on doing what they've done. There's almost a sense there that he's going to come so quickly that people won't be able to change. C.S. Lewis puts it like this, writing about Christ's return. It will be too late then to choose your side. That will not be the time for choosing. That will be the time when we discover which side we have really chosen, whether we realized it before or not. So that's why this word is so important. That's why John says, don't seal it up. The angel says, don't seal it up. It's a message for now, because when he comes, it will be too late. Now's the time to think about the fact that he's coming soon. The time is near. And when we look in the rest of the Bible about what are going to be some of the signs, are there going to be signs? And Jesus said there will be signs. You look at the signs, like an increased wickedness in the world. You think, yeah. Increased persecution of Christians. The last 100 years, more Christians have been persecuted. And Christians, by the way, are the most persecuted people group in the whole world at the moment. Last 100 years, more people persecuted than the rest of the centuries since Christ put together. One of the signs is there'll be wars. This last century, wars that would have boggled the mind of previous centuries. There'll be the spread of the gospel to nations, the good news that Jesus died and rose again, and he did it for us. And this last century has seen the spread of the gospel like nothing else. You know what? Jesus is coming soon. And it's sooner today than it was last week. And it's certainly sooner now than John first wrote the letter, this revelation. Jesus is coming soon, folks. But you may think, well, why then? If the world needs him, why? If people are crying out to him, why? If some of the signs are there, why hasn't he come yet? Why if it was soon? If even it was soon, then what's going on, God? Why the seeming delay? Well, imagine. Imagine Jesus was to return in your lifetime, my lifetime. Imagine it was one of your ordinary days. I don't know what you do on an ordinary day. But if he came back then, would you be ready? What would he be looking for? What would he want to see? There's all kinds of sort of bumper stickers you can get on the internet. And if you search for Jesus is coming bumper stickers, then this is really the most common bumper sticker. Do you want to see it? Jesus is coming. Look busy. You know, is that it? Is that really what Jesus is going to be looking for when he comes back? That you're just busy. We sometimes like to justify our existence, don't we? By the fact that we're busy doing something. You know, like the boss is returning, so look busy, you know. But, you know, you and I can be busy doing all the kind of wrong things. Building our own kingdoms. Entertaining ourselves. And even sometimes when we're busy in things that we think are good, actually when you look into this passage, it's not busyness that Jesus is looking for. He's looking for faithfulness. He's looking, verse 7, blessed. Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this scroll. Things that we've been reading and looking at. Blessed is the one who kind of hears them and takes them to heart. Blessed is the one who, if you look down, when it says so clearly, worship God, who's worshiping God, who's not worshiping stuff. You know, we all worship something. What we worship is the one we look to, or the thing we look to for approval, for security. And everyone does it. Whether it's their boss or their parents or their spouse or even their kids, or they're looking to the money. So you weigh decisions based on that thing first and foremost. You know, well, what will they think? Or how will it impact them? Or what will the money be in it? Or, you know, that's what you worship. So to worship God is more than singing. It is singing like we've been doing now, but it's far more than that. It's a life devoted to God. So are you worshiping God? Are you keeping his words? Are you worshiping him? Are you being holy? It's clear that there's something in this passage of the importance of holiness. How we live matters. End of verse 11, and then this verse 12. Look at this. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward's with me. I will record every person according to what they've done. Very stirring speech in The Gladiator when, if you've seen the film, when Russell Crowe's playing this kind of general, Maximus Aurelius, he's riding in front of his men and he says this. We probably won't watch the clip, Mike, I'll just say it. He says this, what we do in life echoes in eternity. And you know it's just a film, but he's right. What you and I do in life echoes in eternity. The choices we make, the sacrifices we make, the things we've been talking about today, it matters. Jesus says, even if you offer a cup of water in my name, there's reward for that. He notices everything, even the other stuff that people don't see. He notices it. Holiness matters. Each one will be rewarded according to what he's done. Jesus is coming back. What's he going to be looking for? He's going to be looking for those who have been faithful to him, looking for those who are worshiping God, looking for those who are patiently enduring this big theme of the book of Revelation, looking for those who have not given up waiting. Many will scoff and say, well, where is his coming? That's what the Bible says. And yet it's those who will patiently endure, living lives that are holy, that are devoted to him. And actually, those are the best lives. We kind of know that's what we're meant to do. But here's the thing, isn't it? On so many of our ordinary days, we don't live like that. And actually, if we think about Jesus coming back in our lifetime or this week, one of the things that kind of terrifies us sometimes is that he'll come back and we won't be about his business. We won't be being faithful to him. And actually we suddenly go, oh Lord, if you're coming back soon, then what about my neighbor? What about my family member? What about my colleague? What will happen to them? And like already now, Jesus is telling us, go tell them. Go serve them. Go love them. Go show them that I'm good news for them. And you see, this is the other part here that I just want us to come in as we end, that's so clear in this passage, is that Jesus is delayed because there's this invitation that he's giving to us right now. We might be saying to him as a prayer, come Lord Jesus, that's our prayer, but he's saying to us, come. Look at the end of verse 17 here. Let the Spirit and the bride say, as it were, to Jesus, come, and let the one who hears say, come, but let the one who is thirsty come. That's the word of Jesus. Come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. There's this invitation, just like there is in verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Jesus invites us, come to him. If you're thirsty this morning, if you're not sure where you stand between you and God, you don't need to wait until that day and try and panic and look busy. Just come to him. Even now, he's alive. Even now, he's speaking to you. He's present here by his Spirit, and he's inviting you. Come to him, the life giver, the one who is able to make us clean, to make us holy, so that we can then be who he's made us to be, to wash away those things of which we're ashamed. That's the reference there in verse 14. Come to him. And this wonderful picture of coming and drinking. I don't know if you've ever sometimes been really thirsty and tired. That sense of just a bit of water. So good. It's amazing. Bit in a Chronicles of Narnia is a sort of allegory written by C.S. Lewis, and there's a bit in the silver chair where this girl, a bit like a picture of you and I, called Jill, is just arrived for the first time in Narnia, and she meets Aslan, who's a picture of Christ. Aslan, this mighty kind of lion. And Aslan is there by a stream. And Jill comes up to him, and Aslan says, "Are you not thirsty?" And Jill says, "I'm dying of thirst." "Then drink," said the lion. "May I? Could I? Would you mind going away while I do?" she said to the lion. And the lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. As Jill gazed at its motionless bulk, she realized that she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. And the delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Will you promise not to do anything to me if I do come?" said Jill. "I make no promises," said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing, she'd come a step nearer. "Do you eat girls?" she said. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. But it didn't say this as if it were boasting, nor as if it were sorry, nor as if it were angry. It just said it. "I daren't come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh dear," said Jill, typical English fashion. And she came a step nearer. "I suppose I must go look for another stream," she said. And the lion said, "There is no other stream." Look with me again at Revelation 22, verse 17. "Let the one who is thirsty," it says at the end, "come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." Jesus is inviting you this morning, even before we then invite him and say, "Jesus, we need you, come to this world." He's inviting us because we need him personally. He's inviting us, come and drink from the only place where there is water of life that satisfies us right down to the depths, that cleanses us, washing us, that enables us to have eternity with him. "Come and drink," he says. And the last word in this whole book of Revelation, the last word in the Bible, even after this amazing prayer, "Amen, come Lord Jesus," and may that be our prayer, folks, because our world and our city need it. Look what the last word is in Revelation 22, verse 21. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people." It's a word of grace. Grace is getting freely something that you and I don't deserve. Grace is something that someone else has paid for. And this free gift of the water of life, it's free. Did you notice that? Not because it's cheap, but because it's precious beyond compare, but someone else has paid for it. Jesus, by his death and resurrection, is able to offer us living water. And this morning, I want to invite you, come to him. I want to invite you, do that if you've just got thirsty or you feel like you need a wash. You notice in verse 14, it's present tense. Those who wash their robes, there's a sense that we need to keep coming and receiving from him. But I also want to invite you very particularly, if you're here and you've never known what it is to feel like you've come to Jesus and received from him life-giving water that knows, that you know, means you can spend eternity with him, then please, in this moment now, come to him. Respond to his invitation and receive from him grace that you and I need for life eternal. Should we bow our heads right now? I'm just going to invite the band to come up even. So we just pause in God's presence. He's coming soon. We don't know when. But just now, Holy Spirit, we pray, come and help us be ready. Just search your hearts and just ask, are you ready? You longing for his appearing? Would it be good for you today? And I guess all that depends on how you are with him. Well, know this, he loves you. He wants to show you grace this morning. He's inviting you. Come. If you're thirsty, come. If you need cleansing, come to him. There's no other stream. So if you need to just do that this morning, I invite you, just speak to him now. Say, yes, Lord, I want to come to you. Say, sorry, God, for where I've chased after other stuff. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And then please fill me with your life-giving spirit. Please help me keep your word. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Bible says if you ask, you receive. Receive grace this morning. Receive forgiveness. Receive replenishment. Receive eternal life. Particularly, you've never felt that you received eternal life before. You never feel like you deserved it. But just now, you're saying yes to Jesus, and you know that actually he's heard you, because he has. And if that's you this morning, that's particularly for the first time you're receiving this security in Christ, I'd love as your pastor here to know that. Would you just raise your hand so I can be praying for you? I know many here will have just been receiving afresh from the Lord. But if that's you for the first time, you're saying, yes, Jesus, I want to receive your grace. Just raise your hand right now. I'm just looking downstairs. Thank you. Thank you. Just looking upstairs. Is there anyone upstairs? Just for the first time? Jesus. Thank you for these folks who just for the first time have come to realize what so many of us know, Lord, that you are wonderful. And Lord, I pray blessing on them. Help them. May they always know it all the way through their life. But Lord, for many here who are maybe more familiar with your word and these things, Lord, we pray, God, please, may we not lose the wonder that you're coming back soon. And may we not try and just go on thirsty, but keep drinking deeply. And so we're just going to stand together and sing these wonderful truths as we continue to worship God.